You have your Bibles, turn into Colossians today. We're going to be looking at walking safely on a dangerous trail. Have you ever been out somewhere that has been dangerous, a trail that was questionable or there was dangers around? Many of us have been in those situations, and recognizing the dangers out there, but yet recognizing that this may be the way we, and the only way that we can go. So sometimes we have to go through that danger, dangerous areas, and you could compare it to driving over Red Mountain Pass, maybe, in a snowstorm. It can be dangerous. Sometimes you have to. There's dangers around. There's just as many dangers there in the summer. And our life is like that. Many times our dangers are around us all the time. So let's start with Colossians chapter 2 and start in verse 1 with the first 10 verses. Colossians chapter 2. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with the enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this time that we can gather in this place, that we can hold your word in our hands, read it aloud, put it into our hearts, and Lord, that you can direct us and guide us and teach us through your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of coming before you in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us. And thank you, Lord, for filling this place with your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that you have given to all believers, that we might walk according to your will, that we might be led of you, led of the Spirit. And Lord, as we come this morning, may your word reach into our lives and guide us and direct us in the paths that we are going down. The things that are in front of us we know not, but you do. Lord, as we go forward, let us walk in your strength. Let us call upon your power and your might. Let us seek your wisdom. Not the things of this world, not the things of or the foolishness of men, but the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God. And Lord, as we do so, give us the strength that we need to stand for you in the places that you take us. The paths that we walk down, the dangerous steps that we have to take. And Lord, I pray that you would guide each one and that you would bring honor and glory to yourself today, here in this place, and in the ears of all who hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we are given several warnings in this chapter in Colossians. In verse 4, it reminds us, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. In our world today, there are people in our world that are doing this very thing, throwing out enticing words, trying to get you to do what they want you to do. Verse 8 says, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Again, beware, we're seeing this warning coming out. In verse 16, let no man judge you. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Again, warnings coming into us, coming out to us. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward. All kinds of warnings in this chapter 2 of Colossians. But we're also given instruction as to how to walk safely once you have been born again, once you've received Christ as your Savior. We are in a dangerous world. There's no doubt about it. Look at this past week. Look at the dangers that have transpired since we met last Sunday. Look at the craziness that's going on in our world today. How can we then walk and serve God when it's dangerous out there? Well, the key is to do it God's way. And we're going to look at that today. How do we walk? Well, we need to walk as you have received Christ Jesus, your Lord. How do we walk? Well, the Bible tells us we are to walk by what? Faith. We are to walk by faith. In Colossians 2:6, it tells us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did we receive him? By faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That is a gift of God, right? It's not something we do. It's something we accept. It's faith. So as we have received Christ, we are also to walk in Christ. So for those who are saved, those who have received Christ, we are to continue in Christ. We are to continue walking in Christ. So it is important to remember when you receive Christ. Look back in your life. It's always important for us to think back about the change that took place in your individual life when you received Christ. You know, the date is good. Sometimes people can remember, on this certain day, I accepted Christ into my life. The date is good, but the experience is actually what gives us our strength, the remembrance of what happened, what took place, what transpired when I asked Christ to come into my life. Remember who you were without Christ in you. Some of you received Christ as a child and you don't have that much life prior to that. You've lived a lot longer since then. Some have received Christ later in life and saw the kind of mess that they had in their life before and realized what Christ has done since that time. So we need to remember who you were before Christ came into your life and who you are afterwards. Need to remember the love of God that you received as the weight and the burdens of sin were lifted up. When you realized your sins were paid for, they were gone. You were not accountable to God for that anymore. Christ paid for that. Remember that the love of God you received is still there. His love for you is still there. And remember when you first realized what Jesus did for you. Think about all the things that you've done that God said is sin. And you realize that Jesus made you free from the penalty of death for those sins. That's pretty amazing what he has done for us. All of these things help us to remember, how do we receive Christ? By faith. Did it change my life? Did it change your life? If you truly received Christ, it truly changed your life. It's not with the mouth and profession only. It's from the heart. You know, God can hear us say things, but God knows our heart. And he knows if it's genuine or not. So do we. And we can tell if we're just speaking words, if we're just trying to appease somebody, or if it's genuine and it comes from our heart. When you realize what Jesus did for you, it's humbling. So we must remember our first love for Christ. Over in Revelation, it's written to the churches here, Revelation chapter 2. And as the Lord is speaking to the churches and talking in directly to what's going on in each one of them as a church, but also as a dispensation or a time. But I think he also points it out as we look at our life, we can see how we as Christians have to look at these different churches in Revelation and realize that we can fail in these areas or we can serve God in these areas as well. So in Revelation chapter 2, in the first five verses, it's under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them that are which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Remember, he says, because thou hast left thy first love. We need to remember that love. We need to remember what Christ did for us. That's part of the reason that we have communion, is to remember what Jesus did for us. And that's important to draw back into our life periodically from time to time to say, you know what, this is what Christ did for me. It's not something you can look at other people and say, it's an individual thing. Christ did this for me, and that's important. So we need to walk by faith as we have received him, remembering our first love for Christ. And we must walk by faith in the wonder of his love. I don't know what Christ has planned for this year, neither do you. But I know that whatever he has planned, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay, because he is God. He knows what's going on. And as we go through this message this morning, you'll see more and more evidence that it's going to be okay, regardless of whatever happens. 2 Corinthians 5:7 reminds us, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If we only respond to the things that we see, we can see lots of danger out there. We can see lots of turmoil out there. We can see things that are harmful out there. And if that's all we see, then all we see is danger. So where does faith come in? Faith is accepting Christ. Faith is accepting that God is God, and he's bigger than all of that. Do we trust him? Do we walk realizing that he is really in control? He knows what's going on. He knows why it's going on. He knows what's going to happen next. He's not taken by surprise. He's God. And as we read in our text earlier, he's above all the principalities and powers. He knows what's going on. So walk by faith in the wonder of the one who loves you, who gave himself. Just go back to that point right there. He gave himself for you. He paid the ultimate price for you to give you eternal life. Do you see your value to him? Do you see how much he cares about you? Can we walk by faith, trusting him, when we look at who he is, at what he has done? We can. We can walk by faith. Second, we need to walk with confidence in Christ Jesus the Lord. Colossians 2:7, the first part of the verse says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. This has to do with knowing who you are in Christ. Once we have received Christ, we are to walk in Him, and then we are to be rooted and built up. That word rooted has to do with a foundation or grounding, being anchored down or being made strong. Rooted in Him, built up. Built up has to do with to finish the structure upon which the foundation was laid. To have a good building, you have to have a good foundation. And it starts with the foundation, and that's what it's talking about. Rooted or anchored down, founded in Christ. And then it says established. And this has to do with proving or the confirming of that building, proving that building's worth. And that's what God does in us. That's how He works in us. So how does that apply to our Christian life? Our Christian life must be founded in Christ alone. There is no other foundation upon which we can be built. Everything else will fail. In fact, look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Every one of us as believers is part of this body, part of this building that is built upon Jesus Christ, the apostles, and believers of all time. Fitly framed together, growing into a holy temple. A holy temple, the place where the Lord dwells. Isn't that amazing what He's doing with us? Not just has done, but is doing and will be doing. So we find that all we will ever need then is in Jesus. All we ever need is in Christ. Back into Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9 again. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That starts off here with the word beware. Beware. Not in philosophy. There's lots of philosophers out there today. Beware. It should be in faith, not philosophy. Beware. It's not in the world, but it's in Jesus. It's not in the things of the world, the rudiments of the world, but it's in Christ. All we need to walk with confidence in this world, to walk with confidence on a dangerous trail, is Jesus Christ. He is our guide. He is our strength. He is our light. He is everything that we need. Number three, we need to walk energized in Christ Jesus. Energized. Everybody automatically thinks of a bunny when they hear energized. There's a reason for that. It's something we need to be proactive in. Colossians 2, 7, the last part of the verse says, as ye have been taught. How are we taught? What are we taught as believers? Well, again, we have to go back to faith. We have to go back to our faith. What do I really believe? And why? Where does it come from? Is it real? Has it proven anything to me? Do I believe it? You know, there's a lot of people that can say they believe. But we have to realize we go through a proving in our own lives, looking at, is this real or not? How many of you as a young Christian questioned all this stuff about God? Wondered, is it really real? Is that really real? Is that what God says? And then later on, God proved it to you in some form that He's true, that He's just, that He is the things He says He is. As we have been taught, I want to encourage you not to forget the things that you have been taught, not just from people from the Word of God, but from the Holy Spirit. God in you, the things He has taught you. Remember those things as you grow, as you mature, as you walk in this life around dangers. Old truths about Christ help to keep us energized. Old truths, things that are in the Old Testament that talk about Christ. Here we go. Prophecy, okay? It was told it was going to happen. Did it happen? It has. All of the prophecy about Christ coming has happened. There's much of the old truths about Christ that have already taken place. When we look at the purpose of Christ coming, before man was even made, God had a plan to bring him. Now, can we trust all of these? It's all by faith. It's all by trusting God, just as our salvation is. How do you know you're saved? How do you know for sure that you're saved? How do you know you're going to heaven? It goes back to trusting God. Because God said. And God does not lie. So we have then to believe it or deny it. And people do. But I can't make that call for you. And you can't make that call for me. I have to trust Him. For every step along the way. Do I believe? Do I believe God's word? Do I believe that what He is telling me is the truth? Do I live in accordance with those beliefs, with what God is saying? As we do, we get energized. Why? Because the Holy Spirit works in us to bring about the work of God. And as God is working in us, it automatically energizes us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is power. God is power. All power is given to Christ. And I can guarantee you, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, it doesn't matter what kind of mood you're in, it's going to change. When God gets a hold of you, He gets a hold of you. And sometimes He shakes you around and rattles you, and sometimes He stuffs your nose in places that you don't want to go, but He pushes you there. Why? Because He knows what's best for you. And He knows what you as an individual need. And He's helping you to get there. He gives us that energy to keep going. Some of us at times need a kick in, well, you know what I mean. We need a swift kick to get going. We just stall out sometimes. You know, we get tired, we get to where somebody else can do it. You know, and God's telling us, this is for you. This is your thing. This is what I want you to do. And we can argue like Moses did, no, let somebody else do it, I'm not qualified. We can come up with all of this stuff. But when God says, you know what, this is for you, and I'm here to help you, I will guide you, I will direct you, I will lead you. I will be with you. I will supply all of your needs. I have the resources. And we have to say, okay. But that's the key. We have to say, okay. Because God doesn't make us serve Him. He wants us to serve Him. When we get done giving God all of our excuses, we have to realize He already knew. He already knows who we are. He knows our frailties. He knows where we have failed. He knows our flaws. But He, God, can still use us. And when He does, it energizes us. It gives us that boost that we need to serve Him. In Colossians 2:10 it says, "And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power." We're complete. Have you ever thought about yourself being complete? We're only complete when we have Christ in us. And the Bible in that verse says, "He is the head of all principality and power." So we're complete in him, and he is in authority above all spiritual power. We think, wow, the devil's powerful, and yes, he is. The principalities that the Bible talks about are powerful. Spiritual wickedness in high places is powerful. And our world is full of that today. And there's dangers all around us. But remember what this verse says. He is the head of all principalities and powers. He has authority over them. We have to remember that we are made alive and that we've been forgiven. Wow. We are made alive and been forgiven. Again, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. "And you being dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was contrary," or that was against us, "which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Again, look what he's done for us. The debt of our transgressions of the law have been paid, if you're a true believer in Christ Jesus. Jesus exposed spiritual evil and defeated it openly. That's important for us. He exposed it so that we know that we have a spiritual enemy. We know that the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We know that he has provided for us spiritual armor so that we can stand against the fiery darts of the wicked one. These powers are defeated, but they're not yet removed. They're still active in our world today, which makes our world a dangerous place. Why? Because we have an enemy. We think about our enemies today. We think about, well, who is an enemy? Our enemy, in reality, is Satan and all who follow him, all who join in league with him. And if you study the Bible, you realize there's a lot of people in the world who are in league with Satan. Some willingly, some unknowingly. But nevertheless, it's natural for man who's living in sinful conditions to accept the things of the devil. Why? As Jesus pointed out to some of the Pharisees and religious leaders of the Jews, he told them, "Ye are of your father, the devil. It is his works that you're doing." And it is still ongoing today. Satan has not been bound from the earth. There will be a time during the millennial reign of Christ where Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. But that is not yet. So he is very active today. Why? Look at how he stirs things up. All we have to do is look at the Word. His whole purpose is to stir up mankind. And he's doing it. Why? To draw us further away from God. To help us to get so tangled up in this world that we forget who God is. That we forget about what God is doing. That all we can see are the rudiments of this world, the things happening in this world. Ephesians 6:12 reminds us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle against these things. We struggle with these things. We have battles with these things. It's not flesh and blood. It's not people. We think, well, it's people that's a problem. No, behind the people, there is the problem. There's a spiritual evil in our world that's behind mankind. The Bible says it's principalities, it's powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you believe we have that in our world today? Do you see it out there? It's obvious. That's who we wrestle against. That's who is trying to destroy the things of God. But what is crazy is if you back up to verse 10 in chapter 2 of Colossians, he is the head. Christ is the head. Christ is over all of these things. Back up a little bit more into verse that I read earlier, he hath already exposed them as the enemy. And he has defeated them already. Wow. What do we do with that information? What do we do with those things? Do we run and hide because we have a fearful enemy out there? No. The Bible tells us to stand. How can we stand? I talked to you a few minutes ago about the Holy Spirit working in you. Let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God wants to do with you. Submission to the Holy Spirit is our walk of faith. To walk in faith, we have to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God to do those things. Then we can walk energized on a dangerous trail because of Jesus. We can take that walk. We can realize, you know, it's going to be okay. Remember 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Never forget this passage. Never forget this verse. As a believer, as one who has received Christ as their Savior, greater is he that is in you, Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Principalities, spiritual wickedness, the darkness of this world, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Walk accordingly. Walk energized. Don't walk around defeated because you're not. Walk around energized because Christ is in control. Christ knows what's going on very well. And number four, walk rejoicing in Christ Jesus the Lord. Can we rejoice this week? We better be. Rejoicing in Jesus Christ and who He is. Colossians 2, verse 7, the last part of the verse says, abounding therein with thanksgiving, boiling over with giving of thanks to God. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving, letting your faith boil over, rejoicing and being thankful to God. Why? Because you are no longer in bondage to the law. You are made free from the law. The law condemns. The law puts you in bondage. In a bondage you cannot come out of. And without Christ, we are in that bondage. And it is Christ alone who can break that bondage and has already paid the price for you and for all who want to be made free from that bondage. Again, back in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 18. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. No longer in bondage to the law. We are born in bondage to the law. But we're born again, we're made free from that bondage. So we're dead to sin, but we're alive in Christ. Sin no longer has its stronghold. Jesus has broke that. Again, in Colossians, starting with 19 down through 23. And not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These verses teach us that there are things that go on in the world. And in verse 23, it says, they have a show of wisdom, and it's in will worship and humility and neglecting the body. We can call those things religious acts, things that we try to, or mankind tries to justify himself with. But he says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It does you no good. It's not going to help. What does help is receiving Christ. I can be as religious as anyone about anything, but without Christ, it means nothing. We need to walk it rejoicing in Christ Jesus. We need to live rejoicing in Christ Jesus. We can rejoice then in our victorious Lord. He is victorious. Christ has been victorious. Again, where is our faith? Today we stand in amazement that he has already come. He is resurrected from the dead. He has paid the price for man's sin and offered that on the altar in heaven to God. And God has accepted that. Christ has sent to us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in all who believe. We can rejoice in our victorious Lord. Why does the Bible call him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because he's above all. All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And everything in heaven and earth and under the earth will bow the knee to Christ. All principalities, all power, all spiritual wickedness in high places, all of these things of the enemy will bow down to Christ. And we belong to Him. So we can rejoice in Christ. 1 John 5:4 reminds us, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Faith, in fact, there's a song that we sing, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." You, as a Christian, as a true believer, are an overcomer in this world. You are above and beyond normal mankind because of what Christ has done for you and the faith that you have in Him. You will then pass from death into life everlasting. Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are conquerors. We have succeeded because of Christ. We have gone beyond. It's like getting, have you ever played the game Sorry? Or a game similar to that? And you get into that safety zone, and you know, nobody can get you there. Because you're in the safe zone. And you know what? That's where we are today. We're in the saved zone. And nobody, no power, can pluck me from the hands of God. I'm not quite yet home. I'm climbing those steps to get home as God moves me along. But you know what? I'm safe. I'm secure. In Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. There are many dangers around us all the time. Dangers around us. You look in the media, and it's just full of popcorn dangers out there, just constantly popping up. Pop, 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 pop. Always stuff popping up out there. But you know what? How often do you see people getting reported of serving God or doing good things? We don't see that. Why? Because our world doesn't dwell on the good. Because they don't know good. They know evil. They know what's bad out there. And that's what they concentrate on. We have to watch that our flesh is not drawn to that. Our flesh should follow the Spirit, and our spirit needs to be drawn to the things of God. We are overcomers. 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Remember that again. Our world is our world. It's evil. It's been evil for a long, long time. There's wicked people. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. And there still is. And there will continue to be. God's warned us of all these things. And God has equipped us to live in this world with His power. Remember who is in you. Because of Jesus Christ our Lord, we can then walk safely on a dangerous trail. You think, wow, but what if I die? What if I lose my job? What if something happens to my family? What if something happens to my finances? What if our country gets taken over? What if no matter any of those things that I mentioned or anything I didn't mention, what will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? You have security. You have safety. God took Daniel to Babylon. Wasn't his home, but he served Daniel. Daniel served God where he was. God wants us to serve him where we are. If that changes, we need to serve him where we are. Trust him in every situation. That's our walk. Your life, your time period here on this planet is limited. And then you enter into spiritual, everlasting life. You know what? We're here but for a season. Our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. While we are here, let us walk for the Lord. We can walk safely when we walk by faith. When we walk by faith. When we walk with confidence. I'm bought and paid for. There's nothing that Satan can do to me unless God allows it. Not a thing. He can't touch me. I'm in the safe zone. And even if he does touch me, I have eternal life because I am Christ. And all who believe, all who have received him are safe. That is why it is so important to tell others about Christ so they can have that same opportunity to live that way. A lot of our people in the world today, a lot of people we're acquainted with, don't have that security, don't have that. They can. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody can. It's got to come from our heart. It's got to be real. And when it is, we can walk by faith with confidence, and we can do it energized, excited, because God's in control. I'm okay. Whether I live, I'm okay. Whether I die, I'm okay. It's not this flesh. It's the guy inside here that's going to be okay. It's the one inside that body of flesh that matters. And that then causes us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Why? In everything, give thanks. Look around at who God is. I want to encourage you, go out these nights during this winter and look up at the stars, how clear and bright the sky is in the winter. And you look out there and think, that's nothing as to what's beyond. And God is there and God is here now. And he encompasses all of it at the same time. How little is planet Earth in comparison to God? And yet he knows what's going on with you on this little planet. And he cares so much that he became man. To redeem you, to give you the opportunity to have that life eternal. What an amazing God we have. Our God is truly an awesome God, and he loves us so much. Don't let the things of this world drag you down. Look up. Don't let the things that are happening in our world make you feel like, what's this world's ending? It's going to end at some point. But we got a lot of things happening before that point. and God's still God, and God's still in control. Walk by faith in Him. Get in His Word. Read His Word. Put His Word in your heart. Let the Spirit lead you and guide you, instruct you in all truth and wisdom and righteousness. Trust Him. The next time you get them negative, look at our terrible world, nothing's good out there, feelings, get into God's Word. Sing some songs to the Lord. Praise Him. Worship Him. Rejoice. Thank Him for who He is, what He's done in your life. And it changes your outlook. Trust the Lord. Let's all stand together. Heavenly Father, as we come before You this morning, thank You once again for this privilege that You've given us of joining together in Your name. May You lead and guide each one of us as we leave from this place today, and may You help us to bring honor and glory to You in this troubled world. And Lord, let us learn to walk safely and with Your strength in this dangerous place. Realizing that You are our armor. You are our strength. You are our shield. You are everything that we could possibly need. Let us walk by faith in Christ Jesus alone. And thank You for giving us that opportunity and that security. Guide us now, Lord. Each one. And let each heart come before You. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The music plays this morning. It's been these moments.